Couldn't wait to be here. I love being with the family. You know, you got work days, you're away from home, you're here, there, all the things the Lord's got you going through, but there's nothing like coming and gathering together, assembling ourselves under the Lord and just touching bases on everything. How many is liking the Torah portion this week? And getting to really learn a little bit more about that guy, Balaam. It's pretty incredible. I was wondering, you know, you read it or you listen to it over and over, and then you start questioning things. I'm like, okay, this is a prophet of God. He hears God speak. What is he doing hanging around with a pagan king? You know what I'm saying? And then when you get to the end of the Torah portion, if you haven't studied and learned and understood who Balaam is, when you get to Revelations, you won't understand what it's talking about, because it talks about it again. He reflects on it to the church. And so it's pretty incredible reading about Balaam. And I assure you, this week's Torah portion with Balaam is another connection to things we're going through, things happening around with us, the church, and people around us. It's pretty incredible. But how many know the Lord never changes? The Father never changes. And how many knows that you go through some tough times during your weeks, during your, you know, hey, look, life, you're going to have disappointments. You're going to have troubles. And number one, things aren't always going to go the way you want them to go. They're not. You know, you got your happy days when everything's going right. You know, I keep, every time I think about things going your way and things you like, I think about when I was in Indiana and everybody's going after that ice cream. Everybody talk about that ice cream. Sister Nicole with that ice cream, the ice cream. I said, boy, if they ever got, it was in Kentucky? Oh, yeah, it was before we got to Indiana. I was thinking to myself on the way home, I was like, they talked about that ice cream. What if they would have got to that window and opened and say, I'm sorry, y'all, we're closed. That would have been pretty disappointing. Everybody talked about that ice cream for a while. It was pretty good once we got a hold of it, you know. But thinking about disappointments, things don't go the way you want them to. You know, I can relate to that in fishing. There's times that I'm telling you, these windows open up. You don't know where the fish are coming from. It's incredible. The customers are happy. And you wish it would go like that all the time. But how many knows it doesn't go like that all the time? There's these times it's like it just shuts. And you know, the Bible says that God shuts things that where no man can open, and he opens where no man can close. And that's just the way it goes. And it's to teach us lessons. We're not always going to get what we want. He never changes. And I was thinking about that through all the past 2 weeks, the things that I went through, things that it just didn't go my way. Things just didn't happen the way I want. There were some disappointing days I had where I really tried with all my heart. And it was just one day this week, I was really trying to get to what I was doing prior with my customers. And I'm just halfway through the day, and I'm just riding to this last place, and I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about our Father. I'm just in deep thought. And I'm by myself, and that boat's running. And I'm like, I said, you never change. And I'm just in deep thought. You don't change. You stay the same. And I'm thinking about everything I've been through and all the things I'm going through. And I say, you know what? Fish, no fish, people happy. It doesn't go the way I want. It does. I said, you're good to me. I just love you so much. I thank you for just being with me. I say, man, look. The sun rose this morning. I got breath in my lungs today. I don't have cancer. I'm not in a hospital somewhere. All my family's doing good. We had a great trip in Indiana. All the things that happened up there. I was like, oh, to just be giving you thanks and happy just because. I should be focused on what I'm getting. And it was a lot of pressure. And, you know, in front of customers and people, when you get a lot of pressure, automatic frustrations want to come out, right? You want to say something. You want to get upset. You want to show your emotions. And those things, you can learn to train to lock them in and not throw them out there. And just remember who he is, what's going on around you. You can't let those things, because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He expects that from us the same. Be like him. You don't change just because it's not going my way. It's the things not going and his disappointments. He never changes. We should give thanks in all things, right? So I just thought about those things, you know, being tired, disappointments, things not going our way. But he never changes, ever, ever. And I was thinking in that moment of him, okay, he's seated on the throne. He's immovable. He doesn't change. He's not shaken. He's not surprised. And the Son seated at his right hand. And the earth is a footstool for his feet. These things go through my mind the whole time I'm running. And I get to this last spot, and I'm just happy. Hey, how y'all doing? Everybody's going good. Everything's going good. And I'm not expecting this to happen, but everybody throws a line in, and everybody's got a fish on. I'm like, I said, okay, you do this all the time. You know, it's exciting. I said to myself, why can't it just be like this all the time? When it's going good, when it's not going good. So we train ourselves in habit to get frustrated about things. In the same way, he's training us to have it, to not get frustrated. Be happy all the time, regardless. That's what the Bible says, right? So in our walk with Elohim, we'll find that everything is temporal. It doesn't last. Disappointments. But he and his word never changes ever. You can grab and hold on. And I assure you, he's a stronghold. He's a foundation that will not be moved. And in this short-term time, we have been awarded. We prove our love for the Father, his Son, and his kingdom by holding fast to his every word. And regardless of the way we decide to go, his plan will continue with or without us. So, and on my way home from Indiana, the Lord instilled on me, out of nowhere, Jeremiah chapter 1. I like to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. I read this and I meditated on it. I asked the Father about it. And it's been spoken of here many a times before, but just he reminded me of this. He says in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 12, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. And the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build, and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. So in the same way I just said earlier, whichever way we plan to go, he's still going to do what he said. And nobody's going to stop his appointed times and his seasons. So the almond branch, I read up on it. He said, you see well. The almond branch is going to bloom in its season. And it's going to do in its appointed times and everything else. And there's a there's a lot more bigger story to this whole picture. I don't have the studies on it. I was talking to the pastor about it. There's a lot that connects with that almond branch. But in this particular part right here, he's anointed people. Look, when you read about Balaam in the Torah portion, he was anointed. He was in the wrong place. He was doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing, but still that didn't stop him from hearing God and being anointed, right? That's where he was, and that's what he was doing. But God's plan is still going to come through. So regardless of what road we choose, God is watching over his word to perform it. And on his time and his plans will be carried out with or without us. And he said, what do you see? He said, an almond branch. You see well. As an almond tree blossoms in its season. All that I have said will come to pass in their appointed times. So in life, there will be arguments and there will be disagreements where one or both may be wrong. But in every situation, the examples the Father gives and requires is in a humble and a contrite heart, regardless of who may be right or wrong. This is the way that we should act, is what he says. A repentive and a contrite heart puts him in charge. So in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So that's what he's looking for, a person that is humble and contrite. And contrite is repentant, just to be honest. So we're going to have situations come up where both may be wrong, one might be wrong, one might be right. It doesn't matter. We got many cases here. We're going to go through them tonight. Job, we got David, we got different cases here where even Moses, we talked about Moses. That's the main one I want to talk about tonight, where Moses and Korah, they came to their disagreements. One said God said, the other one said God said, and who was the one who got humble? Moses went down and got humble, right? So he did. And that's what God's looking for. People who's going to be humble and repent of contrite heart. Regardless of who's right or who's wrong. Hey, I'll take the wrong regardless. What do you want to do? Repent of contrite heart. So keep in mind, we've got three things we're talking about tonight. Number one, he never changes. Number two, he's watching over his word to perform it. And number three, he's looking for those who will be humble and have a contrite heart. And I want to talk about some of those examples that he gives to us. In Job chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you, therefore I retract. And I repent in dust and ashes. What did he do? He repented. He spoke a lot of words. He said a lot of things. And he said, woe is me. I spoke things that I shouldn't speak. You can do anything. You could do all things. And he repented. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said, and I'm not going to get into all of those. My main point that I wanted to speak about is how Job repented. He was humble. He humbled himself. Moses in Numbers chapter 16. Everything that I'm sharing with you tonight is stuff that I've gotten and learned through my relationship with God, bits and pieces through my everyday. My good days and my bad days and my talks with Him. And I'm telling you, it's incredible. It's when you're in that spot where it is just not going your way that in my life, I don't know about y'all's, but in my life, I find that's been the most intimate times because I just let go. And it's like Pastor said the other day, that's where I want you. Trusting in me with all your heart, relying on me. I'll be your stronghold. I'll be your everything. I'm immovable. I'll hold you up. I'll never let you down. That's how he is. He'll never let you down. And so everything I read is just bits and pieces through my everyday for the past couple of weeks. And you just learn to grow in your relationship. This is my times with my father, his scoldings and teachings and discipline, his loving me, his telling me you did a good job. He's telling me that wasn't good. Don't do that again. And you just learn and you grow in that, right? And I see here how all these guys, and that's what he says in his word, testimonies. That's what testimony means. He's got guys in here that's got a testimony of their life, what they did that pleased the Father. And this is what he said, there's an earth full that I've created, a big earth, vast with all kind of things in it, that you could do this for me, you could do that for me, and people can say this and they can say that, but this is what I ask of you, to be humble and contrite. No matter what situation we get in, we got to be humble and contrite. And so number 16, 4-5. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he said to Korah and all his company, in the morning the Lord will show who he is, who is his, and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. So Moses was in his spot. Here we go. What did he do? He gave it to the Father. He didn't yell. He didn't rebel. He didn't get mad. He didn't get upset. I can't believe they were in the wrong, but he didn't get all upset and do it his way. He humbled himself. He got down. He said, I'm giving it to you. And that's what he did. And the Father took charge. And what did he do? And the minute he spoke, the ground opened up, and that's what happened. He humbled himself. He didn't have to show off. He knew a lot. He'd been with the Father. A lot of things been happening in Moses' life with the Father that he could have done, but he stopped and paused. And then we got David in Psalms 51:10. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb, which he bought and nourished. Do you know when you read these stories, you can relate it in your life, what we do. We really can. We see the things that we do. I want this, I want that. Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get that? And then we think about this. David, he had all that position. He had all that. He had all that the Father had provided for him, his wife, his everything, and he's off looking at something else. One more. I'm not happy, not satisfied. Let me get that. And you really didn't want to do that, right? We can relate it to a lot of things in our lives when we read these stories. Which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had came to him. And then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make the restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. And Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care." And I, you know, think about it. We didn't give ourselves breath to live or animation. We get in that place where we start working and we start getting monies and we start getting prosperous. And what does this word say? Be careful. Be careful when you get prosperous. Be careful when you start getting all those things that you don't veer away from me, falling in love with those things, and then you're going to want more. It's going to be less of me, right? That's what he says. All the attractions, everything that you see, it don't take long. I could be honest with you, when the oil spill happened and I started making that money, I could be honest with you, I veered away a little bit from the word. Maybe that's where it started in my life, where I had some things kind of trickle in there. I'm okay here. I'm okay there. Got some money. I'm having to be able to do things I've never done before, spend money. You know what I'm saying? I found when I look back, when I put myself on a scale before and after, I used to spend a whole lot more time with him there than when I was here. I got more relaxed. I did. I really did. When you start getting stuff, you get more relaxed. I'm okay. Everything's good. I get another $1,500 paycheck. I get another one. I'm good. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Start watching a little bit more TV. Go here. Go there. Your time with him starts going away. You got to be careful. He wouldn't have said it if you knew it wouldn't do it, right? He said, hey, be careful. When you start prospering and things start happening, that you don't go away from me. Those things will consume you. They'll take you over. It did it for David, didn't it? He's a king. He had a lot of stuff. He had a great position. I could do what I want. And I see that girl over there. Man, that looks pretty nice. Might be all right. And it starts trickling in. Right? So we got to pay attention to these words. Be very careful. And so we could read the rest of the story. We know what happens. But that's just another example and more testimonies that we should go by of those who are humble, those who are contrite, what David did. You know, thinking back on the Torah portion again, and we talked about Torah portions in the past, about death, how death is contagious. You know, just one little bitty thing in the body could make a big mess. One little thing we let in our lives can affect our whole family. And I was thinking about this Torah portion. There was this guy and this lady, this guy, he went out to camp. And he went and got him a woman that was with the other gods. And there was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of people that were, there was a lot of things that was happening. And it was affecting the whole camp. It was affecting everybody. There was a lot of people that was dying. And so one of these guys stood up, and when they walked in, he thrust them through, killed both of them to stop everything. You're going to get into it with the Torah portion, but it just brings you back to death is contagious. Don't touch that. You touch that, you're not going to only affect you. You're going to affect everybody that you're involved with, your children, your family, the body, my pastors, my brothers, my sisters, right? When we get into things we're not supposed to be digging into. Choices that we make. Micah chapter 6, 6 through 8. Micah chapter 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, righteousness, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what he says. To walk humbly with your God. You will not find a better stronghold. You will not find nothing better to hold on to. I was telling Mariana earlier when I came home this evening. I said, what if you was on the edge of a cliff and you got knocked off and the first thing you can find to grab and hold on to is something solid? You want to grab on to something solid. When you're going through a rough time, you want to hold on to something that's solid. Yahweh is solid. He's immovable. He won't move. Everything else, it doesn't last. You'll find everything and anything that you wanted so bad, you find out it was really nothing in comparison, right? Nothing compares to Him. Nothing at all. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. You see? Whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger. And He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that the man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your food, your foot, did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking His ways and by fearing Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, fountains, a kingdom. He that endures to the end, your kingdom. Fountains of springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and of barley, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules. I tell Him every day, remind me. Don't let me forget your commandments and your rules. Remind me every day. Don't let me forget. Which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. It don't take much. You will. Look in this house right now. You will. It's a great example. It don't take much. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents, scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, test you to do you good in the end. Beware. So important to listen when He says beware. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hands has gotten me this wealth. You see? Has gotten me this wealth. that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Speaking of Balaam, can you imagine how many times maybe it might have happened to us in the times past when God had his mercy on us? When he was on that donkey, and that donkey fell down, he beat that donkey, and that donkey turned and he said, "Do you understand? I can't go that way." How many times we might have had an angel with a sword drawn? You know, when an angel's got a sword drawn, somebody's about to die, right? You're in trouble. You take another step, you're a dead man. It brought me back. I said, "Lord, maybe there's so many times that Yeshua HaMashiach stood in my stay and said, hey, a shield, a protection, an angel was drawn because I was on the wrong track, wrong path, wrong way, going in error." How many times there might have been an angel standing before me? Maybe not in a particular story like Balaam, but just thinking about my life. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. I don't know how many times these past 2 weeks I found myself saying this, and it still stays on me. Father, you're right. Have y'all ever said that? I'm telling you. I was sitting there like, man, Father, you're right. It's almost a statement you can't even say, because how are you supposed to tell God that he's right? I mean, he's perfect. He's incredible. You can't. You don't even want to say it. I know you're right, but you're right. You're right. Again, how many times I've said that? And you walk with Yahweh, you'll find yourself many times saying this. You're right. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive your sin and heal your land. Proverbs 16:18-19. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. There it is again. With the wealth. Things going good, your own power. Isaiah 57:15, the King James Version. Thus saith the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's the ones he's looking for. Matthew 18:3-4. He said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." These some good scriptures here. Matthew 23:12. The ESV. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James chapter 4:6-10. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, in the ESV. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He will exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Psalms 34:18, King James. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite, repent of spirit. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, Thou will not despise. That's what He wants. He wants those who are humble and contrite. So number one, He never changes, ever. No matter what you're going through, what's happening, not what you want, it's not happening, things ain't working right, things crumble around you, He never changes, ever. Ever. You can hold on to Him. He's a stronghold. He's an anchor. Number two, watching over His word to perform it. Appointed feasts, times, and seasons. It's going to come to pass with us, without us, whatever choices we decide to make, whatever road we want to choose. Number three, looking for those who are humble and contrite. And so that ends our Bible study for Thursday afternoon. And I just thank you all for being together and continually doing the things that the Father's asked us to do. Be humble and contrite. Amen? Anybody got anything? Remember Saturday Torah portion?